Blog Talk Radio.
So the call queue is up. Go ahead and call the number. And I thank you for the brothers for the some of the shout some of the super chats here. I ain't waiting gonna be on too long, man. Cause you know, I was gonna have a little bit of a larger panel shout to AM1. I was gonna do an old school man, but I don't feel like Sunday rumbling right now, man. I got 30 minutes for you niggas, and that's it. And you know, I'll take some calls. So we're gonna just keep with me at LER tonight, man. I can't. But we gonna do a part two though. Part two tomorrow. Christopher Darden. And I gotta get a panel for that. It's gonna be the guy for Eric Holder. I find it very interesting. Christopher Darden. It's like, damn, we know this nigga killed, it's Eric Holder is a dummy. This nigga pleads not guilty. Okay, let's talk about toxic stupidity. Brother Eric Holder, if you're listening in some kind of cell, see, if I was you and was in your situation, I would probably just kill myself because somebody's gonna fuck you up. They're not gonna be able to protect you all the time. Somebody is for sure going to fuck you up. Wherever you go. It's a matter of time. You are a dead man walking like a motherfucker. And you're not really a dead man walking just because you killed Nipsey Hussle. You're more of a dead man walking because you are stupider and dumber than a motherfucker. Let me talk about some of the conspiracy niggas, too. And some people are like, oh, man, they ain't got no footage. They ain't got nothing. No, hold on. If it is. You was there, you leave, and then you come back. As if the camera didn't have you the first time. Now, you killed Nipsey, didn't shoot the other dudes, so the other dudes know exactly who you are, okay? I mean, bro, like, on the way home, did you not think that killing one of L.A.'s popular rappers, that you was not going to get caught? I mean, at 3:20 in the afternoon? I mean, this has everything to do with just being a dumbass nigga. Number one, what did you shoot him for? I mean, because you snitched? I mean, obviously you're not that bright, so you probably did snitch and probably didn't even know.
Yeah, man.
Imagine this nigga probably just, yeah, man, don't
tell him in a room full of, like, 15 people. But yeah, so this
is a dumb motherfucker. This is what's going on with some of these black men out here, man. And it's like when you call this shit out, people want to call you a coon or, you know, you selling out. Listen, a lot of brothers in the inner city that come from there know there are a lot of motherfuckers there that are bright. Okay, here's what happens in the black community. You have smart niggas who act dumb, and you got dumb niggas who can't help but be stupid than a motherfucker. Emotional stupid. And I gotta deal with this, man, because this is really, any other day of the week, man, Nipsey probably would have got caught like this. But this ain't got nothing to do with toxic masculinity. This got something to do with a stupid, crazy motherfucker that just was at the right place at the right time. Go ahead. Let me hold on 1 second. Let me check the call queue. Let me see if we got anybody calling in, right? Let's see. Go ahead. But guys, call into the number, okay? Go ahead, LDR. Darda. Didn't he cry when OJ like went free or something like that? And wasn't he fucking Marsha Clark? But anyway, go ahead. She was not attractive. So go ahead. Right. That's not a toxic masculine. That's not a toxic femininity, though. Had the license plate number down to a motherfucking size. Every damn letter and number was on that motherfucker. On the screen. No.
205, we coming. Go ahead. Let me do this. For people that we have like three in the queue, I know with LAR I was talking, you guys can't hear them, and that's probably why you guys cut off, but it's my bad. Actually, I probably should have said something, guys, still call back in. So, guys, we're going to open up the board for you, 646-25. We're going to take about 30 or 40 minutes taking calls. Me and LAR have said what we had to say, but now it's about you guys. Call in. We're going to go ahead to the first person, which is, let me go to the caller. Fuck. 205, you on the air? What's up, brother Phil? You there?
What's up, man? Can you hear me? Okay.
Can you hear me? You got a struggle. Brother, what's going on? Brother, you in the basement or in the water or back to the pool? What's going on?
Nah, I'm saying, can you hear me?
Yeah, nigga, I can hear you, but nigga, can you... Where are you at?
Alright, I just want to make sure... Alright.
You at work, you in the bathroom.
Nah, not tonight, man. But,
okay.
Nah... The Nipsey Hussle thing, nah, you can't really blame it on toxic masculinity. You know, if he wasn't there, you don't really know what happened. All you can do is go on with the news set or whatever. That's pretty messed up that, you know, he just got blasted like that in front of his store. So it really doesn't make sense to blame it on toxic masculinity. I haven't seen the NBC thing about... Like Dr. Boyce Watkins was talking about how they tried to dog him out on NBC and all that. But you know, it's pretty messed up what happened to him. But that's what happens, man. It is what it is. It happens all the time in the hood. It don't matter who you are. You know, you ain't even necessarily got to be in the hood for something like that to happen to you. Sometimes, you know, when you're trying to be a rebel, you know, you're going to get blasted. You know, the same thing happened to, you know, people in Ferguson. It happened in Malcolm X, Martin Luther King, whoever you can think of. It's something that's never going to stop. And, I was listening to your show the other day, and you were talking about, why are the foreign women that they so good or so... Whatever, why they not married? Yeah, it was this chick that called into your show talking about the reason why dudes go overseas and yada, yada, yada. And I kind of like the way you put her in check. Like, you know, you said something to her and kind of put her in check. And my thing was, like, it ain't really none of your business why dudes go overseas and, you know, deal with women. You know, it ain't none of your business. How you know?
All right, brother. Well, thank you for calling in, my brother. What the fuck is he? I was like, nigga, what are you talking about now? I hate to do this to you, brother. Thank you for calling in. But, nigga, we're not talking about last night's show, nigga. We're talking about tonight's show, brother. God damn. Well, you know, let me just tell you something. Today, I'm not playing with y'all. Only a motherfucking call. Why are you going to call me and talk about anything besides the God bless you, brother. But the brother was a little mundane, and he seemed like he was at work in the closet, taking an extra long ass break. Nigga, don't call me on your break. Don't call me on your break, brother. Make sure you get off and drink an energy drink. So when you call in, you got something. You need to be hyped, brother. You know, let's try to shoot again.
to be doing something else right now. And you know what else I'm talking about. You know, I got something waiting on me. I got something waiting on me. I got something waiting on me. All right, let me go here. Let's see. We got an unknown caller.
Yeah, I was saying.
Oh, Lord.
I'm saying,
oh,
what's going on, man?
Hey, man, I got to do something for your old ass, man. I got to send the sirens up. Send your son up to the church. Have you seen him? He went to high school with Jesus. All right, brother, what's going on, man? Talk to the people.
Hey, look, see, I had to get up here. See, I had to call in early tonight because everybody be saying all the important stuff I want to be saying. So I had to get on up here early tonight. But now
that nigga,
the last nigga that was calling,
he wasn't saying nothing. He was putting me
to
my motherfucker
sleep.
But go ahead,
brother.
Go ahead, brother.
Now, I'm just talking. I'm just throwing two things up in there. Look here. I don't believe there's no such thing as toxic masculinity. Either you're a man doing some stupid stuff, or well, no, lost my train of thought. Oh, yeah.
It's called Alzheimer's, but yeah, it's Alzheimer's.
Yeah,
okay.
There's really no such thing in my mind to talk to Mr. Landry. Either, like I said, either you're a man, you're doing stupid stuff, and that's just what it is. That's not manhood to be doing stupid stuff. That's actually immaturity and boyhood, if you will.
Mm-hmm.
And one other thought I'm going to make.
Did you say if you will, brother? Did you say that?
Say what now?
Did you say if you will?
Oh. Now, I'll tell you what. Another thing. I don't think I said if you will. I probably did. I'll be saying stuff half of the time. I don't even be hearing it. But anyway. This whole another thing about snitching. I'ma tell you something. Everybody hates a snitch until your stuff get broken into. until your kinfolk get shot. You feel what I'm saying? Okay, do you feel me? That's all I gotta say about that. I ain't gonna hold you long. Look, I'm gonna get on off and let some other people say a whole lot of other stuff. You feel what I'm saying? But look here.
Right,
I enjoyed it. And I'm going to keep on listening here while I eat me some mashed potatoes and baked chicken.
Right. Well, you probably eat some mashed potatoes, but some baked chicken will be too hard on them dangerous brothers. So we're going to go ahead and eat you some chicken soup. Yeah, them baked chicken will be too hard on the guns. Yeah, yeah.
Oh, see, now I threw the baked chicken.
Yeah, you get it. Yeah,
but
you eat
the chicken,
but it's cheap.
Yeah, anyway, look here. I do that baked chicken. See, here's the key. You have to put the baked chicken off inside the mashed potato while they still hot. That way the mashed potato
chicken.
You know what I'm saying?
Blend.
That's how that works.
Okay. Get off the call. All right, good to see you, brother. No, shout out to O.C. Lyon talking about he got baked chicken. You know goddamn well. You got some Campbell's broth, nigga, chicken soup, nigga. You're not going to be eating no chicken with some kind of gums. You're not going to be doing it. All right, I don't want to. You think that, let's number call. My dog Tyson. No, I don't want to talk to you because your name is My Dog Tyson. Any nigga with that kind of name, I'm not giving you my number. Don't call me. Call somebody else. Call Jesus, call the Holy Ghost hotline, call the police. Do not call me with your name, My Dog is Tyson. That sounds like a fucked up pilot cartoon in the 80s that got pulled off of Nickelodeon. I don't want to talk to anyone with a name like that. Not tonight. I fuck with Joe Shea too. I fuck with you too. I don't want to talk to you tonight. My Dog Tyson? No. Maybe My Dog Holyfield, My Dog Larry Holmes, My Dog Floyd Mayweather. Anybody but you, baby. All right. Let me take the text call. 321 in the building. What's up? 321, what's going on?
Hello, am I on the line?
No, you're not on the line. another name with the number on the line.
Hey, I do think this is actually because of Tarkus masculinity, but not because of the other guy. Because the other guy had such a fragile ego that he had to, you know, murder this black man for just calling him out on problems with him. And to me, that's, you know, there's nothing more toxic than having your ego so fragile that you can't take criticism and you decide, you know, set up to change your life with the decisions you made and get respect from Nipsey and people in your hood. You decide to murder him just to prove nothing, really, and just mess up yourself. So I do think that's a function of toxic masculinity.
All right, my brother. Where are you? What's your name?
My name's Nick.
Nick, are you white, Nick?
You know, that's so funny. I get that so much. I'm actually, believe it or not, I'm actually from Jamaica, and I'm black.
Okay, no, I mean, if your name was like Leroy or, but I don't know too many niggas named Nick, so that's probably why. But anyways, how long you listen to the show, though?
How long have I been listening to the show? I've been listening to the show for about like a month. You know, ABL a lot. I listened to his stuff, and then, you know, I saw he was on your show, and I was like, oh, let me check this guy out. And your stuff is pretty solid, too.
Oh, God. You like ABL, huh?
I like some of his points, but not all of his points. You know, I do think that black people do need to go away from the Democratic Party, but we need to, like, be more independent and, like, say, it doesn't matter if it's Democrat or Republican, we need to vote for our own interests. But, you know, that's what kind of got me to him, because he was like, I used to be more about just solely about Democrat stuff. And then I listened to this stuff and I kind of said, you know what, Republicans do have some points, you know, immigration did mess up the black community. And, you know, some points like that.
All right. Well, thank you for calling in, my brother. I appreciate you. Hey, man, can I talk to my own show? You niggas out there, time everybody out that said Nick something. Get them out of my chat, hold on. Nick Van Exel, come by. Nobody asked you about my fucking Nick Van Exel, nigga. Did I ask you? LSD, Smart Alec. Who else said that? Stop, Sarah Piper. Long God, don't you ever tell me who is Sarah. Get the fuck off my chat, motherfucker. You up there looking like Mary McLeod with Google Cookman talking about what I shouldn't be doing. You get your motherfucking Mahalia Jackson looking ass out of my goddamn chat. Nick Cannon, James Jackson. Fuck off. Nobody asked you either, nigga. Hold on, I'm telling y'all too. Who said Nick Taylor? Tell me whoever said it. I know what's the Nick's name, Nick. You can get your ass on my goddamn shit. Nobody asked you. Over there looking like a I'm coming up on the left side of the mountain. You want them motherfucking singers. You want them ladies on the motherfucking church man in the 70s over at Mount Olive Baptist Church, and we didn't have no air conditioning. I'm coming. Come on, little shit. E-Man, you want to be signed out too, nigga? Get your ass out of here with that tight ass shirt on. With that Kmart special. Don't be telling me come on. Get off my motherfucking chest, nigga. You too. OJ, come on, close that room door. Don't you tell me who to time out. Your ass get timed out. Come on, nigga. Crazy night. To the wall, nigga.
I'm coming. On the west side of the mountain.
George, I just had a time. You got to give y'all a time, everybody else. I'm sorry. Shout out to George. And that 300 seconds. What else we got? 317, you on the air with O'Shea and LER. What's going on?
Hey, Shalom. This is Captain Kaposh of the Israelite School UPK under Command Junior Hanna. Just wanted to give a shout out to you, man. Your show is funny. I like it, man. I enjoy it. I enjoy catching it when I can. You know what I'm saying? But just on the topic with Nipsey Hussle, my thing is, okay, I like Nipsey Hussle, a little bit of the Russell. I like some of the things he was doing, you know, like trying to promote giving back to the hood and stuff like that. More rappers need to do more shit like that, to be honest, you know what I'm saying? But, you know, I mean, it's a sad situation. Overall, the whole situation is just a sad situation, you know what I mean? A brother dying, a brother getting shot, a brother committing a murder, a couple other brothers got killed, I heard. So this shit's just a sad situation, sad story. But it's just, it's not, you know what I mean? UPK, we care for the poor. Even the brothers that wasn't rappers, we care for them brothers. Even the brothers that wasn't rich, we care for them brothers. You know what I'm saying? We remember all our brothers, all our fathers, all the brothers that was killed by the United States government. You know what I'm saying? Directly or indirectly. You know what I'm saying? We care about all of them at the UPK. And, you know, we're not going to make Nipsey Hussle's bigger than, you know what I mean, it is, but it's a super sad situation. You know what I mean? But we just want to make, I just want to make sure that brothers remember that, you know what I'm saying, this situation is happening every day, all day, every year, all year. You know what I mean? Brothers want to talk against saying, you know, the Dr. Sevi thing or something like that. That's not the big issue. A bigger issue is the gang violence that started by the United States government. The red and the blue, the right. Bloods and the Crips, that's the same as Democrats and Republicans. The United States government initiated all that shit, you understand, and infiltrated all that shit and put the drugs in it and put the violence in it and the guns in it. That's not even, you know, a black thing anymore. That's a tool that the government used. So I just want to put that out there, make sure brothers remember that shit like this is happening to all types of brothers all over the country. You know what I'm saying? So brothers need to wake up on all fronts, not just when a rapper gets killed, you know, somebody famous gets killed. What about the brothers who ain't famous? Well, you know what
I'm saying? He's right, my brother. And I think you saw them with the brother's name.
Captain Kapash,
you said his name was?
Kapash.
Is he on YouTube?
Yeah, we're on YouTube right now. You know, we're ISUPK. We got, you know, schools all over the country. You understand? So we got different YouTube channels for different schools, our headquarters in New York, and everything like that. So if any brothers want to look us up, they just type in ISUPK, Israelite School of UPK. And if I could, I got another brother. He wanted to say one thing also to Robert.
Okay, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, brother? I was just wondering, why is it when, you know, it's funny because the only time we seem to mourn is when white people have, like, validated the person that we're mourning for. You know what I'm saying? Like, say, for instance, this guy, Nipsey Hussle, you know, he's a rapper, being, you know, and he's a successful rapper, right? So, you know, with him being that, he's, you know, validated about, you know, white people. But the people that are not validated by white people, we don't care what happens to them. Like, say, for instance, also, like Trayvon Martin, right? Now, with Trayvon Martin getting killed and the guy was Eric Garner, you know, with those people getting killed, just because the cases were made, like, high profile and white people said this is wrong, that's the only reason why we know about them. That's the only reason we would never know. If they were just, you know what I'm saying, they were just regular, you know, men, just regular dudes, just because white people made it a high-profile case, that seems to be the only reason why we really care about it, while we don't even seem to care about Dante that got shot up the street last week.
Mm-hmm.
Dante, nobody cared about Dante. White people didn't make, you know, Dante a big issue. You see what I'm saying? Nobody sat there and said, you know, nobody cared about what happened with Dante. You see what I'm saying? When black people love Dante, black people in the neighborhood love Dante, but white people didn't step in, so, you know, nobody really cared. Dante became this guy that was, like, buried in the sand, you know? And that's just, you know, that's one of the, you know, the problems that I got, you know? I mean, we got to look on the people that nobody seems to care nothing about. You know what I'm saying? We got to learn to do that. You know what I'm saying? These black people that nobody cares anything about. And another thing too, you know, as far as with the Nipsey Hussle guy, it says, you know, he owned a store, you know, and, you know, with the store and all that, you know, he had the support of black people. Right?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, to be honest with you, he was not really one of us. This man was a, what do you call it, Eritrean? He was one of those type of people, right? And now we know that those people, you know, those people right there, like the Ethiopian stock, they come over here, they have incense shops and things like that, right? They come over here and they do all of that type of stuff, while at the same time, we get mad at Mexicans. We get angry with Mexicans for coming over here just for to get the work that we don't want to do. You know what I'm saying? That nobody wants to do. We get angry with them just for crossing the border in a land that once belonged to them. But we'll accept everybody else from Eritrea, from Ethiopia, from Nigeria, from Bosnia, from Russia, you know, all of these places, while we sit there and make the face of immigration and directly hit that towards Mexicans and towards people from the Caribbean islands and Virgin Islands and all of that. You know what I'm saying? We make those the face of immigration and what we hate and what we should want to purge out of the country, while at the same time giving those kind of people a pass. And we talk about, you know, you know, this guy Nipsey Hussle did for the black community, and he made jobs, and he made this, and he made that, and he did this. But you know what? But nobody ever mentions the fact that Nipsey Hussle would never be anything if it wasn't for black people. If it wasn't for the descendants of the slaves, how would his rap career go? We never think about things like that. He, you know, we make it like he did so much for us, you know, but at the same time, like, we did nothing for him. We are unappreciated. Black people are very unappreciated, you know. And inside this, you know, inside a black forum, we have to give credit where credit is due. You know what I'm saying? If we sat there and pumped up this person, and you know, here's another thing too. If a person is, you know, if we pumping up these people and making guys like Nipsey Hussle a success, those people that made him a success should get something in return. They are entitled. Those people are entitled. You see what I'm saying? Those are an entitled people. You can't just sit there and take a people and just a culture and want them just to keep feeding you, and you never give them nothing back. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. You know, and this is the question that I got also too. Inside Nipsey Hussle's businesses and things like that, what percentage did we own? That's the thing that I got to say too. Yeah, maybe he gave a few brothers a job, maybe, right? But how much stock do they own inside the company that he set up inside their neighborhoods? Because when you set up, you know, a company inside somebody's neighborhood, regardless of where you go on the face of the planet, you are a tributary to some degree to that people, because you're setting up in their place, in their zone.
Okay.
That's the way the world works.
Okay, so let me and thank you for calling in. Let me we'll address that here. All right, one hype man is holding my stuff back. LAR, 225. All right, let me do 225 real quick. 225, maybe kind of okay. 225, you're on the air. Then I come to 919 pretty soon. 225, you there?
Yeah, I'm here. LAR, O'Shea, thank you for blessing me with this to be on y'all program tonight. I come to y'all from Baton Rouge, Louisiana. I got to dispel all the bullshit I've been hearing. First of all, toxic masculinity, that's some bullshit. Am I being a toxic male? Am I being a toxic male when I'm putting food on the table, when I'm making sure everything all right with the house, but the moment I stand up for myself and don't go along with the bullshit status quo, now I'm a toxic male. All y'all females with this shit, man, cut this shit out. Ain't nobody a toxic male when we paying to get your goddamn hair done. All right, so please, cut that out. Second of all, the brother that said, that just called in, man, y'all got to stick to the topic. All right, y'all, we can't never get on one accord. We never can get on one accord on this shit. I swear to God. You talking about Trump and immigrants and Reddit? What the fuck? God damn. Like, bro, the thing is the topic. Now, let me tell you something about Nipsey Hussle. I grew up listening to Nipsey Hussle. That man is from Crenshaw and Slauson, Rolling 60 Crips. His daddy is from Eureka or whatever, okay? And you talking about white validation, like, man, that stop is bullshit. So any man that comes on here that has been infected with the idea that toxic masculinity is a real thing, that's bullshit. You ain't being a toxic male. You standing up for your goddamn self, and it's time for that. Nipsey Hussle ain't tolerating no gay men. No, he was tired of seeing gay black men on television. I'm tired of seeing that. We're tired of this Tyler Perry shit. That doesn't represent who we are. And y'all got to understand mm-hmm. that fact of the matter is this. And any time a real black man is represented, it's always considered something else, something extra. Oh, he's this, he's that. I'm tired of this shit, so stop that right here and now, all right? It's time for y'all to grab your nuts and act like a goddamn man and leave that other bullshit alone, all right? Do not go along with this social justice Me Too boot. Don't do it. Please don't do it. And all you callers, like, so his Nipsey Hussle's death wasn't based upon no toxic masculinity. His death was based upon stupid nigga shit. End the story. Mm-hmm. All right? Eric Holder probably can't read A, B, C, D, E, F, G. He probably think that's Chinese lyrics or some shit. The man, he don't got no mind. And now his life is gone. All right? And that's the sickness of this. Anytime, I bet you, any amount of money, anytime a man tried to step in Eric Holder's life, his mama pushed his ass out the way. Don't talk to my baby. That's my son. What you doing? This is my baby. Well, look at the results mm-hmm. you fucking get. Illogical, full of too much estrogen, and you just obviously can't think at all. And then you come back twice on camera. Eric. God damn, shit. Yeah. So that's all I want to say, but peace to you, O'Shea. I love what you're doing. LAR, you one of the smartest men on this YouTube thing, panel, and you don't get the credit you deserve. But from now on, can we please stick to the topic? Because y'all really frustrate me, and this ain't even my shit. Okay? So
yeah,
I'm here with that.
I don't know. The other brother that called in, I know I'm going to y'all talk a little bit, right? I know it's going to be hypocritical, but the brother was saying something like, we got to do a show on that, man. Was, should Nipsey Hussle be considered to be ABOS? Now, his mom's African American, dad is Wiccan. Did you hear what he had to say about that, brother? Mm-hmm. Well, here's my take on that. And shout out to Brother Brian King. He's out of Alabama. He's like, what's up, good bro? What's up, big bro? Good to see Brian here. I will say this, like, I haven't touched the ABOS argument on Nipsey Hussle because, number one, if your mom is African American, okay, that qualifies you. I mean, here's the thing. And I'm not trying to take a shot at the brothers real quick. We was on topic mentioning immigration because Nipsey's father was immigrant. No, that he wasn't on topic. Okay, no, you was not. He was off topic. I just let you ride. But that had nothing to do with Ken Nipsey's house being blamed on toxic masculinity. You just wanted to talk about that. So I just didn't say that. Because, you know, he's making some points that's interesting, but that wasn't for this conversation. But since you brought it up, Nipsey Hussle was doing some things in South Central Los Angeles that ABOS people do. Let me tell you how African immigrants, don't believe Africans are our people. I'm in Africa right now. And me and George have that conversation all the time. So I definitely get that. But here's the thing. One of our people labeled one of their people and had a baby, was technically makes it our people in this way, because our people are not doing the shit that Nipsey Hussle was doing. And I'm going to tell you like this. When African immigrants or Chinese immigrants come into the black community, they're not trying to do shit. They're setting up little stores, and they're taking that money out of the community, and they're not trying to bring anything to it. All right? That's just the bottom line. And we got to admit that a lot of African Americans
are not trying to go, those that are talented, those that have money, are we really trying to go into inner city, Southside Compton, South Central LA? Are we trying to go there and do that? And he said something I thought that was kind of, I'm not going to call it being stupid, but I mean, what percentage of that business do we own? Listen, bro, when you have African American businesses, do you own any percentage of that business? No. So, you just don't. The brother had a co-working space, okay? He had a STEM program he was working on, all right, in a neighborhood that African Americans live in. That's something that we don't do. I'm talking about educated black men, for the most part, don't do stuff like that, all right? So, Nipsey, then you got to give him a pass. You got to give him a pass because, yeah, I'm not taking no shots. That, you know, it's very few people in pro-black communities doing that. We're just not doing that kind of stuff, okay? So, I mean, and culturally, he identifies with, you know, with who we are, you know, even though he identifies with a negative aspect, but he looks at himself as being an African American, and that's how he lives his life. So I don't, I think that, you know, he was doing more for us than he was doing in that community. Let's be, and Tad said it like this. You know, that's why when people like Nipsey die, it hurts Pookie the Railroad more because, hey man, Nipsey's work is about to stop. It's about to stop. It's going to die with him. But go ahead, brother.
No, we're going to take like two more calls, man. I'm done for like, it's 5:18 in the morning. I can't do it to you. 916-995, and then we'll take the, go ahead, brother. Is that Marcus?
What's up, man? It's Information Man. How you doing, O'Shea?
What's going on?
OAR Movement, good to hear you, brothers. You guys are talking real talk. I just wanted to make, I'm going to make my statements very brief. I did a video today. I had a lot of support on that video, so I want to thank everybody. I was motivated by George Makem because we talked about the issue, and he talked about the issue of toxic masculinity. He read the article. I also read that article on my program today. And just like George, I believe, and I believe the same, this is just an attempt by the LGBTQ community to try to latch on to a situation with black men and try to hold us accountable. That article talked about him being complicated and him having this tragedy happening to him because he wouldn't give up his homophobia. And I think that that's an unfair article. It's trying to trash black men. It's not just speaking to Nipsey Hussle, but it's speaking to black men and saying that we are a problem in this society. And that article is problematic. That if you know anything about Operation Bluebird or Operation Mockingbird, the CIA has always used mass media, social media, cultural organizations to infiltrate us. And I believe groups like the LGBTQ community, they're being manipulated and used for social engineering, and that social engineering is to destroy masculinity in our society and attack black men once again, just like the article from The Root that said that black men were the threat to black women. So it's a problematic problem. Let me also say that we should not start dividing ourselves by getting into this whole thing about Nipsey Hussle wasn't ADOS. He had a mother that was American, black born. He is black. His whole life has been in the South Central area. He is doing for black people. And like you just said, what black people that are quote-unquote with two black parents from here are doing something for us in this matter? The brother was doing great things. To the caller who called in earlier giving all this criticism, I would argue to that brother, what are you doing? You sitting up here talking about he's only employing a couple of people. You know, you always got a crack and crunch Negro who will say something like that, and then they can't tell you what they're doing with the community and who they're employing. I bet the individual who called in, he isn't doing anything close to what Nipsey Hussle did. Whether this brother is not ADOS or not, it's still another black man who was gunned down doing something that was impacting a community where ADOS people have been living for years. I rest on that. And in terms of that dude, Eric Holder, brother, y'all need to look a little deeper into this than just saying that it's gang violence. Because this dude was an informant, and I said this on my show, he was an informant for the LAPD, which is one of the most ruthless police forces in this country. He was also let out of jail 2 days before Nipsey Hussle was supposed to be there. Somehow he knew he was going to be there. Then they arrest him at a mental facility or outside a mental facility 2 days after they let this monster out 2 days before. Okay? He was doing the work of the LAPD. Okay? This has nothing. Most of the people who live in LA that are on ground level are telling you this ain't gang related. Yeah, he was a Crip. But this dude was a known snitch in the community. He knew he was a snitch, and I have information that he kept coming back there bothering Nipsey Hussle throughout the day, coming back there when they were telling him to leave and go away. My question, brother, is he was shot 6 times, shot in the head and kicked in the head, but yet there was no fire back on this dude. There's something to this situation that we're not touching on, and I touched on the shit today on my show. Because I look at things from both sides of the coin with a critical eye. There's more to this than just it being, oh, this was gang shooting. You got to look a little bit deeper than that and listen to the people that's on the ground in L.A. that's telling you what's really going on. The LAPD is not to be trusted. And that dude was an informant. That tells you everything you need to know. Thank you, O'Shea Duke Jackson. Peace, brother.
Oh, man. All right, let me take this unavailable call. All right, unavailable call. Y'all got to make it quick, man, because I'm tired. Go ahead. Go
on. Yeah, what up? So I'm calling really quick. Shout out to Information Man for that breakdown about Nipsey Hussle. I will say this, though. You have South Central L.A. I live in Ladera Heights. And I live exactly, 2 miles from Slauson and Crenshaw. And you have a community.
Yeah, my brother
Ladera
used to
Heights
live in the Heights. He used to live in the complex, the Heights in Ladera Heights. I don't know if you've heard of it.
Oh, the Heights, yeah. That's 3 blocks from me. You have the wealthiest community, the wealthiest black community in the United States, Ladera Heights. Yet these wealthy black people that are my neighbors have done nothing on the level that Nipsey Hussle has done. In fact, they tried their best to delodge themselves from the black community, separate themselves from that district, from that area as much as possible. They look down on them. You know, when I talk to my neighbors, they scarf at black people that live south of Slauson. So, I mean, you take that into consideration, all the vast wealth, not even Ladera Heights, Baldwin Hills, Windsor Hills. This is areas where you have massive concentration of wealth in the billions, and they've never done anything like this. But I also want to make another statement before I go, and I just want to say, I think LAR made a disingenuous statement, and I think we have to be careful. I think the dude that wrote that article was disrespectful, and I think it was unnecessary in his time. It's not only disrespectful to just the black community as a whole, but it's disrespectful to the man's family. You know, it's just uncalled for, and I think he's an opportunist. But at the same time, I think that LAR made a disingenuous statement when he arrogantly nodded his head back and forth and he said, "What has the LGBT community created?" And I think that's dangerous because that focuses more on black men that are part of that community more, and it kind of demonizes them and turns them into the unintelligible, because white LGBT people could actually say, "Well, nigga, we created the internet and we created the platforms that you speak on right now, whether it be YouTube, whether it be Facebook, whether it be SpaceX building colonies on Mars. 15% of the engineers at SpaceX are part of the LGBT community. When you talk about Tesla, Google itself, when I went to visit my cousin who works at Google, they had the rainbow flag floating around. When I went to, you got a gay man running, Apple Computer. It was a heterosexual white man that trusted him to run it. That said, I believe that you're going to take it into the 21st century. And he turned it into a $1 trillion corporation. So I think when we say what have the LGBT community, that focuses more on black men that are part of that community, and it demonizes them, and it creates more of a chasm and separation and angst and strife. Because white men, gay white men or gay white women will laugh, and transgender white people will laugh because they'll be like, "Well, nigga, we created the internet. We created the platforms you're on. We're getting ready to build colonies in space. So what have you black men done, period? You heterosexual black men, what have you created in the last 30, 40 years?" So I think we have to be very careful and mindful when we attack or when we come from our opinion that we don't create more division amongst black men. Thank you. Good night.
I don't know about that one. I think what his point is that, you know, you're limiting that their sexuality is the reason why they don't do things. Okay, so let me just say this. Yes, we have gay people who are doing talented things and running businesses, and typically gay people make more than straight people, so they tend to be, you know, kind of talented. We understand that, but here's the thing. Causing division between the black and gay community is exactly what person said in that article. You have a lot of strong talking points that came from the article. I will say this, and this is not going to be mean against anybody. The Negro Manosphere is aimed at heterosexual black men. That is what our content is for. That is what it will remain for. Now, I do understand that there are black men who are homosexual, and we are not trying to terrorize anybody. I believe that if I can say this by picking my words very clearly, there is nothing in my opinion that heterosexual black men and homosexual black men have so much to talk about because the movements are different. I think homosexual black men and those who are in the LGBT community have a much larger advantage. They have a lot more access to things. They are more protected. So therefore, as far as there being a division between heterosexual black men and homosexual, I don't think there's a division at all. But definitely, they're already under the protection of the LGBT community if they decide to do that. I think here what it is that, you know, for those brothers that, like the other guy, that that would like to see somewhat of a merger or not to be a separation, we don't deal with that over here. It's not something that I think that's important because the way that I feel, let me just make the point, the way that I feel that heterosexual black men are under attack. Black women do not need to be represented. Homosexual black men do not need to be represented because homosexual black men, you have people like Lee Daniels, you have people like Tyler Perry, I don't think he claims that, but you have a lot of industries and things that are being catered for. I believe that those guys who are in those communities, they have enough talent, they can do things for themselves. I don't think it's about causing division between gay black men and heterosexual black men, but more so heterosexual black men have their own spaces because they don't. Homosexual black men have their spaces. They can have spaces with black women. They can have spaces by themselves. They got spaces in society. So this is not about that. And again, the NegroMastery.com and these podcasts are directed towards heterosexual black males who we feel are those who are underrepresented in America without a voice. That is what our platform is about. It's going to stay that way. Go ahead. Right. Yeah, man. Let me shout out to all the people super chat, man. I gotta get out of here. I'm really fucked up. Not off the drink or nothing, but I'm just tired of me. And shout out to the last caller. We know the interesting exchange, you know, but I gotta go.
Oh, here we go.